Hello, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And Bill Newell, out getting interviews as we speak, loading up in this final week before Thanksgiving football. And it's going to be a busy week for a lot of teams. We still have three local teams in the MIAA football playoffs. St. John's Prep, Bishop Fenwick, and Amesbury. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that tonight. And we're going to talk with a couple of, actually with three captains. We're going to talk with one of the St. John's Prep captains, Carson Brown. And then we'll check in with both Nick Martin and Damian Capone of Amesbury. Now, I don't know if they're together or not. I got a text from Nick, Tim, and he said that he's out with some of the boys having dinner tonight. So he wanted to let me know it could be a little noisy in the background.
All right. So we know there's a lot of team spirit there.
Exactly, and I think that's something that should be brought out, especially with what we went through with COVID. Before we talk to the kids, and also Mike Grenier will be here on board as well, probably around 7:30. The lineup that I have at the moment is we're going to talk with Nick first, Nick Martin at 7:10-ish, and then we'll check in with the St. John's Prep captain, Carson Brown, and then we'll flip back over to Amesbury to Damian Capone, unless Damian and Nick are together, and if they are, that would be even cooler. And Mike will be in there somewhere in between, and we'll talk with Mike probably later on as well. He's got a different bent on Basketball Insider tonight, and that'll be kind of fun to listen to and talk about. So what's on your sports agenda, Tim? What's caught your eye in the last week or so?
Well, both the Celtics and the Bruins continue to play at a high level. You know, and you can turn them on, and they can be down by a goal or a few points, and they come back with them a few minutes later, and all of a sudden they're up. So they're playing tough, aggressive hockey. They're putting the pedal to the metal, and they're not letting go, which is good. Early stages, you know, that they're as healthy as they can be, and hopefully they can manage to stay that way and get healthier throughout the season long term. Because both of those seasons, you know, they are a grind, and injuries, as we all know, can have a really bad impact upon, you know, no matter what sport you are. So, let's hope in the good start, you know, sort of trend that way. Red Sox, you know, they're offering contracts. I heard they offered a long-term deal to Eovaldi, which is good. I mean, the guy's, you know, done well for them. I just don't want it to be too long, because then you get into the breakdown stage and you're paying them money because it's all guaranteed that you can't get rid of. And you don't have any production out of it. So, you know, what are they going to do with Bogart? Well, everybody wants him. You know, can they pay him? That'll be the deal. Do they want to pay what he's worth in the open market? Red Sox historically have said no. And then they go out and try to create a band-aid solution by overpaying some even older veterans. So, you know, err on the side of caution. Give the kid his money. He certainly has earned it. He has the respect of the players, the respect of the fans. You would hope the respect of, you know, the management. And maybe that's why they're looking to sell Liverpool. They need the money to pay Bogart.
I'm not optimistic about that. It seems to me the way Heim Bloom works, he's setting this up to say, well, you know, we offered him this money, but blah, we, you know, so on. We gave him a great offer, whatever it is, and he turned it down. So I don't know. We'll see. But he has been he's been a steady player. You know, it's funny. I don't know. How do you see him, Tim? Is he a superstar?
Well, the ratings of today. Yeah, he's been very consistent throughout
mm-hmm.
his career.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I think he's awesome.
So, is he a? You know, in my old days, I guess I've gotten jaded because I hate people using the term. Oh, he's a great player. One year in the league. Oh, he's a great player. No, he's not. He's a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whoever the individual is, let him do it over time. Let him do it over successive seasons. Let him do it in a consistent fashion. No up and down like watching my heart rate. I want to see somebody go out there and, you know, over a number of years. And then, yeah, he's moving towards a great player.
Okay, I'll go along with that.
You just throw that term around way too easily.
Well, the thing is, too, he's all class. He is just all class. And he, to me, he reminds me of his comportment is similar to what I think Patrice Bergeron's is with the Bruins. And I really like that. So I hope they can keep him. So, okay. I'm going to take a break here, and then we'll check in with Nick Martin, and then we'll talk. We are going to talk with Damian Capone later on in the hour. So we'll keep that as it is. We'll take a break. This is North Shore Sports Night. Thanks for being with us. Going to come back with our first guests in just a second here. So please do stay with us.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back now, and happy to have on the line Nick Martin, one of the captains of Amesbury High School and Amesbury High School football. Nick, welcome to MSO. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Very good. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, but I might want to steer away from, has Amesbury High School picked up a new mascot name yet?
No, we're still working on that one.
Okay. I've been calling you, like they did with Washington a couple of years ago, I've been calling you the Amesbury football team, and it's working pretty well. And you guys have been working well. Congratulations on the record. You've made it to the semifinals, which is pretty darn cool. This thing about going out with the boys tonight, what's that all about?
So we usually like to get dinner together a lot during the week, you know. Build chemistry.
Absolutely. Where do you guys, you know, they used to have spaghetti dinners, and I think that all got lost during COVID. You guys meet to go out somewhere and get, everybody get something different?
We still have spaghetti dinners on Wednesdays, but we still like to go out and get food during the week as well.
All right, I want to get to some of the stuff here, but I want to bring in Tim Kearns. And what we do generally, Nick, is we go back and forth. We're in two separate locations here, so sometimes there's a little bit of a time lag when one person finishes, so just hang in there. And so, Tim, this is Nick Martin, one of the two captains at Amesbury, and we talk regularly with Coach Colin McQueen every week.
Nick, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. This is reviving a part of the show that we used to do quite often when we first began it. That was talking to a lot of the players, and we started off with the guys from Winthrop, and they were great to talk to. Certainly Amesbury has a very rich athletic tradition across all the sports, being very competitive. And you know, you've had a couple of down seasons over the past few years, but you guys have really brought it back together again across the whole sports spectrum of late. You got thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. As guys, we've been playing together for years, ever since middle school, and it's really come together as a team, you know, now that we're in our junior and senior years of high school. We've just become a lot more comfortable on the field and playing together.
You've had a great season, and I know the big game, was it North Reading that you guys, who beat you? Was it North Reading?
We beat North Reading, yeah.
Who beat you guys? You got one loss.
Linfield.
Linfield, that's right. And of course, the Cape Ann League is wild this year, a tremendous thing. What's a highlight for you, Nick, in a, either as an individual or in terms of team in the senior year?
Personal and definitely a team achievement is beating North Reading.
Tell me a little bit about that one.
You know, coming to that game, those kids beat us, like, all throughout our youth football years.
And
past couple of years, we've had the upper hand on them. And they've always been notoriously a really good team. And to see how they're doing in the Division V playoffs, it makes us feel really good about that win. And we had to collectively, like, play extremely hard that game to come out on top.
Yeah, they're doing great. They've got Bishop Fenwick on Saturday, Friday night, and Tim may be there at that game. Tim?
Mm-hmm. Quite possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do you guys normally go to dinner? I know this will become a recommendation of sorts.
So you usually either go to the 99 or Chili's.
There you go. Oh, my goodness. All right, tell me a little bit about the team, if you would, please, Nick, because you mentioned some of the guys have played together. And tell me, Coach did not tell me, well, I'm sure he has over the course of the season, but what position do you play?
Running back and outside linebacker.
Okay, and where it's a small school, you got to play both sides of the balls. Tell me some about some of these other guys that you have grown up with, and particularly in high school.
You know, Henry O'Neill. Of course, Luke Arsenal, Damian Capone, Brady Nash. These are all, like, my best friends growing up, and Hunter Belisle as well. Best friends growing up. It's, you know, it's just great being able to play with them through all these years, sticking with it.
Now, Nick, Avery being a relatively small community, that close-knit feeling really begins when you get into elementary school and the local town league, and again you're getting older, you're playing with the same guys a lot of times. It's the same team all the way through, and that level of camaraderie really helps you to bond as teammates throughout your late years.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly as you said, that bond, it develops over the years, and it creates pretty much a brotherhood. You know, I don't feel like a lot of other places have access to that, and having that small school, I feel like it gives us an advantage because we all trust each other a tremendous amount.
All right, you got West Boylston now in the semifinals. You got to go to Lowell on Friday night. Well, how's the support been? Well, you've had home games mostly. How's the turnout been for you guys?
Oh, it's been great. The fan section's wild, and they're always there to support us. And I'm sure they'll be there. Sorry.
How many kids in the high school?
I think it's a little under 500.
Wow.
What's what have you been studying? What's your subjects as a senior, and what are you looking forward to for next year?
Right now, like the main classes I'm taking are probably engineering, calculus, and English. And for next year, I'm looking to pursue business.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, have you visited schools. So you got your you have to get applications out soon, don't you?
Yeah.
All right.
They're doing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working on it.
Okay. Well, you got other things on your mind right now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tim?
What's the basic offensive scheme that you guys run there?
Sorry, what was that?
What's the basic offensive scheme you guys run?
It's a straight T, so pretty much just run.
Good. Keep the clock moving. Jeez.
Yeah.
Some of these games.
Rick's not a fan of long football games anymore.
You know, Nick, so many teams, they've turned over to the spread, but there's so many incomplete passes, plus with the extra minute on the clock, man. It, it just elongates some of these games. What's it like right now in terms of training? Because you guys start, well, you do it all year round, I know that. But after you played some physical games in like 8 or 9 games with the intensity that you play at, has coach pulled back a little bit on the conditioning part of your program, of your practices, and how's the team health in general?
He hasn't pulled back at all. It's pretty much same old for practices. It's all about getting in that routine, and the team's like, we're all feeling pretty healthy, more healthy than we've ever been. And, personally, I feel great.
That's awesome. Tim, we got time for probably for one or two more.
I know, Nick. I think he hit the nail on the head with the consistency of the coach's approach. You don't want to suddenly, as the intensity now increases in the playoffs, you don't want to back off of the intensity of the effort in the practices, in both your game preparation, but also your physical conditioning preparation, because the team that is the strongest in the fourth quarter, in those final minutes, is going to be the team that generally wins.
Yeah, definitely. Team morale and motivation is at an all-time high, so we're all feeling very motivated in practice to try our best, and that physical ability is something that we all need to continue to train on. So, like you said, in that fourth quarter, we can still keep going.
All right, I got to talk to Damian later on. And what question should I start off with, Nick? What should I ask him? If you were in my shoes and you were a sports reporter, what would you ask him?
I'd probably ask him what he thinks about this upcoming game and how we plan on being successful.
Mm-hmm. No question. And according to Coach McQueen, you two guys are two of his favorite all-time players and people, so congratulations on that. That's a high accolade coming from Coach. And you've had a fantastic season. Keep it going so that we can keep talking with you guys.
Yep, sure.
All right. Good luck, Nick. Thank you for talking with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the time, Nick.
All right, take care. That is Nick Martin, who is the one of the captains at Amesbury High School. They don't have a mascot name yet. They dropped their old mascot name, but I guess one is, it's pretty imminent. It's coming up soon, I believe, probably in the next few months. And I know anecdotally there are a couple of names out there that are going to be pretty cool for Amesbury. So Amesbury playing at Lowell on Friday evening at Colley Memorial Stadium. Game time will be at 5 p.m., and that will be followed by the St. John's Prep Central Catholic game after that, also in Lowell. All right, we'll take a break, and we will be talking about St. John's Prep football in just a second here, hopefully, with Carson Brown, St. John's Prep, one of the captains. All right, we'll be back. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, and, of course, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back now with one of the captains at St. John's Prep, football captain Carson Brown. And Carson, welcome to MSO. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great.
You are doing me. You guys are doing great. I saw on YouTube today an interview you did at the beginning of the season with about recruiting. And are you looking to be on television in the future?
I'm hoping to, yeah. Hoping to play on Saturdays.
Oh, that's not what I was talking about, but yeah, of course. Of course, I get that. What is the plan for next year, as you finish up this season? What are you looking forward to for next year?
Not really sure yet. Still talking to some schools, but, we'll see how it goes in these coming months. still kind of early.
Okay.
But.
Tim and I go back and forth, and there might be a little bit of a delay here when we ask a question, so just bear with us, because we're in two different cities here. Okay, you guys, you have two losses, but, the game coming up, you're very familiar with these guys, and to call each other rivals, I think, would be an understatement. And as Coach St. Pierre was saying today, it's one of the rituals that you have to go through every year. So the training this week, do you look back on that game, or you just keep your eyes focused on who you guys are?
Yeah, I think it's just another game in November. I think it's kind of hard to compare, you know, that first game that we had against them this season to the game coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're a totally different team than we were week two. You know, we had some guys out of the lineup and a lot of new guys who were stepping in at different roles.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of just looking forward to this game this week, not really trying to look back at what happened then. But, I mean, they're a great program, and I got to give my respect to them because I know it definitely is a rivalry. And since I was here as a freshman, I've seen St. John's play them every year leading up to now. So
mm-hmm.
We played them last year. So I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Tim?
Does it change your perspective going into the game? You know, you say that you know them, you have a lot of respect for them. Now it's into the play, your regular season, not even in the playoffs. Does your outlook towards them change at all?
Not really. I don't think it changes, like, our outlook for them, but, of course, I know we're in playoffs. It's one of the biggest games of the year, obviously. So I think it kind of changes our look on the season because, you know, it could be our last game. You never really know, and we got to be fortunate for all the time that we have left on the field. Anything can happen, but we just got to leave it all on the field and, you know, play our butts off.
I know Coach St. Pierre has mentioned that to me several times about making sure that he lets his team know how special it is to be together, especially for you seniors. And I want to get to that as a senior captain. What is it like? What's it feel like when you became captain? Because as you said, you know, you've been watching the prep. You've been at the prep. You watch them as your freshman year, and you're looking at all these big kids ahead of you. And you know, 4 years down the road seems so far away, but here it is. So let's reflect a little bit on what it means to be a captain on this team.
Yeah, it was probably one of the biggest accomplishments in my life so far. As a freshman, I saw that 2018 team go to Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of just looking on to the bigger guys and following in like those shoes of the older captains as well. You know, James Guy last year, Colin Taylor, a couple years ago, just to name a couple. But, I mean, I've been trying to lead this team, and I might not be as vocal as a lot of the other captains, but, you know, I'm definitely a leader in the huddle. And, yeah.
Okay. Tim?
Guys, as you look back over the tradition of St. George, and noticeably, in a lot of the sports, sometimes they are a little slow getting out of the gate. And I think maybe it's been because of the town, because of the level of expectation that there's been a few trip ups. Even your team this year with two losses. But it's when you get to that halfway point in the season, St. John's teams just tend to find that extra gear, that higher level of intensity and focus that allows them really to put themselves in the driver's seat heading into the playoffs, and then go deep into the playoffs, if not all the way to the state championships.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it has to do with some of the younger guys stepping up and kind of just finding what works and what doesn't. You know, we kind of had a slower start at the beginning of the year. Like I said, a lot of younger guys stepped up in their roles, and a lot of people were out with injuries. So we got them back. In midseason, we kind of just let it all out and kind of just played, have fun, and we let it go.
You also had a transition.
Which is great.
I'm sorry for interrupting. You also had a transition on offense that seems to be pretty smooth. And, you know, last week you're playing the number one seed Andover, and they have a fantastic program up there with Coach Perry and so on. And yet you guys steamrolled them, you and two other running backs, 100 yards each, three guys with 100 yards. And I noticed in the paper the first quote that I saw from you was crediting your linemen. So, tell me a little bit about some of your teammates.
Yeah, the line's great. You got Christian Defoe, guard, Pat Dever playing center, Pius Ejindu, Graham Roberts, and also our tight ends have been stepping up in a big way. You know, I really feed off of them, and they get me where I need to go, the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And their blocks kind of just help me out a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Also the receivers as well. You know, they're blocking out the corners. They help me kind of find the hole and hit it and get some room to run. I also want to credit the defense, too. In first Andover, we got some big plays. Mikey Naboo getting that tip and interception. One play later, me running in for a touchdown. Jesse Ofieri with the turnover, kind of setting up some lengthy drives as well. So the defense and the line, it's kind of just an overall team effort. That was a win on Friday, and we're hoping to kind of come together as a team again on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what are your statistics, height and weight?
Sorry, what was that?
What are your statistics? How tall are you? What are you weighing?
Oh, okay. I'm 5'11", 185 right now.
Okay.
And you play bigger than that. I've seen some of the videos, man. So,
yeah.
Little work in the weight room?
I try to. Sorry, what was that again?
I said, yeah, a little work in the weight room, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. This summer, I was in there a lot, probably like five times a week. And in season two, we lift Monday, Wednesday, Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Which is good for us.
Hey,
kind of stay in shape, condition. But yeah, this summer was really big for me. I want to put on some weight because I know that'll help me this season.
Final question. You talked about eating, I think, and you guys have team dinners. You know, they used to have the spaghetti dinners, I think, before COVID. Do you guys have team dinners?
Yeah, some weeks we go to Breakaway in Danvers. some pasta.
Oh my!
Bread rolls, meatballs, some good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Carson, thanks for taking the time, man. I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend, and we hope you guys bring it home.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Carson. Appreciate it. Take care.
Good luck this weekend.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's Carson Brown, who is the St. John's Prep, one of the St. John's Prep captains, and they have had a spectacular year. One loss to Central Catholic, one loss to Catholic Memorial, and they're going to have a chance to play Central Catholic again. This game is 7:30 on Friday evening at Colley Memorial Stadium in Lowell, St. John's Prep against Central Catholic. And by the way, the Prep is the number 7 seed going into the tournament. They knocked off Andover, the number 2 seed. I think I said they were number 1. Andover was number 2, and Central Catholic is rated number 3. All right, so coming up in the next half hour, we'll talk with Mike Grenier, and then we'll check in with the other captain, or another captain, at Amesbury High School. That's Damian Cooper. So we'll take another break. Be right back. You're listening to MSO News Sports on a Monday night on MSO News 4. Oh, this is North Shore News Night on MSO News 4. All right, there we go. We'll be right back.
MSONewsSports.com is connecting you to the North Shore, a real local news and sports podcast giving you updates from around Essex County. Spotlight feature interviews with area newsmakers. The North Shore Today Post features community updates and local photos and useful links. This is the place to hear and see positive local coverage, making the connections that support the North Shore community.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back live with Mike Grenier, our basketball insider and, of course, sports historian in his own right, as well as being a sports journalist. Trying to do six things here at once, Mike, and I can't do any of them well. Anyway, thanks for chipping in tonight. And I told Tim that you're going to take a little bit different tack this evening, and I like it.
You know what? I was thinking over the weekend, I love to watch how teams progress, so why not do my own power rankings, and it's not based, Tim, this is not based on analytics and metrics and all that. It's like what Rick
thank
says.
You, Mike.
Yeah, it's based on, you know, what you see with your own eyes. You know, I've had a chance. I went to the Celtics game Friday night against the Denver Nuggets, and then, you know, I see all these other teams play. I said, okay, I'll do my own little power rankings, and we don't have the time to discuss all 30 teams, so I came up with a power five. And let's call it Mike's Power Five, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the way I rank them based on as going into tonight's game, and the Celtics are about to play the OKC Thunder. All right, Tim, so my number five team is the New Orleans Jazz. They have a 10-5 record. Come on, what am I saying? The Utah Jazz. They have a 10-5 record. They've been Danny Ainge get over to that team, and he basically remade them. He reshaped them. Their entire roster is different than it was a year ago. They don't have Donovan Mitchell, who's now with Cleveland, and yet they've regrouped, and they're 10-5. They're off to a terrific start, and so they're at the number five spot. My number four team, through the counting both the Eastern Conference and Western Conference, is the Memphis Grizzlies. They are, to me, the most exciting and fun team to watch. Perhaps the most athletic team. They're 9-5. They are 7-0 when their starting lineup is intact. They've had some injuries, but they're still off to a great start. And they have one of the great young players in the league, in Ja Morant. Okay, he's just incredibly exciting, incredibly athletic point guard. So that's my number four team. My number three team comes from the team that I saw Friday night, the Denver Nuggets. They're 9-4. And they have the second best, well, actually tied for the best record in the Western Conference. And the thing I like about them is, Rick and Tim, when I see Jokic play, especially in person when you go to a game, he visualizes the court. I'm not comparing him to Larry Bird, but I'm saying his style of play is the same. He's an extremely unselfish guy. He passes the ball so well, especially on the interior. He's great at getting the ball to his teammates. And at the end of the night, he'll have 28 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, or something like that. He does that on a consistent basis, and that's why he's an MVP candidate every year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my number three team. My number two team will be the Milwaukee Bucks. They have the best record in the NBA, 10-2, but without Giannis, who's missed a couple of games with injuries, they've lost two of their last three. So that leaves number one spot open, and that's grabbed with authenticity by the Boston Celtics. They're 10-3. They've won six straight. And Rick and Tim, we have to be impressed with what they did over the weekend. After beating Denver on Friday night, they did not have Al Horford available Saturday, and Jaylen Brown was injured. And so they go without a couple of starters, and they still won that game against Detroit. And they're 10-3, and they've won six in a row. So there's your power five, and we can expand on the Celtics, Rick, but wondering what you think of that power five.
Well, I'll yield to Tim, yeah.
I'm kind of interested that you have, you know, teams with four losses, you know, in there. But a lot of times it's the degree of difficulty of schedule that you're running
Correct.
Into.
Yeah.
Who you have to replace in your lineup, what you can replace your injured players with. Certainly the South, I mean, I put them on the other night. They were down by 7 or 8 points. They turned them on again like 5 minutes later, and they were up by like 7 or 8 points. I'm going like, okay.
As we know, this is going to be a fluid. Yeah, Tim. As we know, this is going to be a fluid situation. Like in a week or two, whenever we do it again, the teams could radically change. Now, Rick, you have ties to Philadelphia. Did you see what Joel Embiid did last night?
Last night, no.
59 points.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
59 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, and 7
block shots. Yes.
Now, Rick, for people who follow Philadelphia basketball history, that's a Wilt Chamberlain type of game.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. I mean, they're at like a 500 team at this point, the 76ers, but they're going to get better. And when you throw up numbers like that, and he did it against the Utah Jazz. So 59 points, and plus the 7 block shot, that's an incredible game, don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah, and I guess he's had a couple in a row like that have been just absolutely off the charts. So, yeah, I would keep my eye on Philly. I'm a little surprised at where they are at the moment. And it's funny, Mike, you know, when you got to number 2, I'm thinking, oh, he's got Boston number 1. And I wouldn't put Boston number 1 just yet. And here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It seems to me that they haven't really played Boston Celtics style basketball fluidly. How about if I put it that way? They play in fits and starts. Their offense is absolutely off the chart.
Right.
The defense hasn't come around yet. So I'm thinking the best is yet to come.
Yep, I agree. But still, despite that flaw on defense, they have won 6 in a row,
mm-hmm.
and I love the way they came back on a back-to-back night. And first of all, too, I give them credit for winning on the road in Memphis against a very good Grizzlies team. And then, obviously, this past weekend, winning it Friday night at home. And then, obviously, Horford sits out because he's 36 years old on the back end of back-to-back games. And, and they had injuries as well. Jaylen Brown had a sore knee and sat out Saturday's game. So they had to win with a patchwork lineup, and Sam Hauser did not have a good shooting night Saturday. So what did Coach Mazzulla do? He took him out, and he put Peyton Pritchard in there. And Pritchard hit, I think, the first or second three-point shot that he took. He hit it. He gave him a little momentum. So I think Mazzulla is trying to use his bench and extend his bench and doing a good job so far. So that being said, that's why I have them at the top. I think what's interesting, Tim, and maybe you should comment on this, is who's not anywhere near the top 5, and that includes last year's world champions, the Golden State Warriors, who lost again last night, and they have a losing record, and they're not any part of the picture yet. And, you know, a couple of these good teams are hanging around below 500, which is surprising to me.
Excuse me, I had something in my throat. 5-8 for the Warriors. I mean, people must be getting ready to go to the Golden Gate Bridge and start leaping from the cables. The Lakers 3-10. Kind of,
yeah, 3-11. 3-11.
Everybody loves to see that.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it.
There isn't a champion contender for the Lakers in anywhere in Massachusetts. Surprising, the Spurs are 6-7. Just always a team that is solidly put together, you know, and will be there. You know, second half of the season, you know that they're going to be there.
The Miami Heat, Tim, are a surprise in that. You know, they're 6-7, and they have us. You know, Jimmy Butler's been playing. They have their lineup intact, but they haven't gotten it going. Right now, they're ranked 10th in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they would barely make the play-in game, you know. So I expect them to get a lot better. But at this point early in the season, they have not put anything together.
Mike, we have to do it. We're doing a different format tonight.
Yes.
And I've got a young man lined up here in about 3 or 4
no
minutes.
Problem.
But what I want to ask you about, and there will be time for Tim also for a last comment or question, the way that Jason Tatum has carried the load with these guys on the bench, to me, it's a new Jason Tatum.
No doubt about it. I mean, when Jaylen Brown couldn't play the other night, he came through with 43 points, and he just dominated the game at the times when the Celtics needed to take control of the game. And you're right. He's taken his game to a new high, and I think it's being recognized around the NBA. So I know I don't want to elaborate too much because I know that you guys, we have to go to another interview here.
Mike, is there a common thread for all of these former powerhouses to all see slippage at the same time? You know, Golden State, the Lakers, the Rockets, the Timberwolves.
Right. Miami Heat,
you know,
yeah.
They're all fighting at the same time.
Right. I don't get it. Well, I have to say, I guess it's early in the season, and they're going to be there, let's say, a month from now or by Christmas time. They'll be back up there in the standings, and we wouldn't be talking about the Portland Trailblazers, for example, who are 9-4, off to a great start. They're not my top five. They're in, you know, on the internet, they might be in top five, but I don't expect that to continue, you know, although Damian Lillard individually is one of the best players in the NBA, although he's comparing himself to Michael Jordan.
That's dangerous.
That is dangerous, Rick. Yeah.
All right, Mike. I hate to cut it short. We could talk all night. But what your homework for next week will be to come up with the powerless five.
That's not a bad assignment, I'll tell you. Because Tim hit on some of those points, and we can try to figure out why those teams aren't playing well. They're expected to play well, and they aren't so far.
All right. We'll have more time next week. And you know what, Mike? We can do this during the week as well.
No doubt about it. And then thank you guys for letting me institute a power five.
I love it. Okay, Mike, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, guys.
Take
Appreciate
care.
It.
Bye-bye. That's Mike Grenier, who was our basketball insider as well as a sports journalist, and we appreciate it. We'll take a break, and if all goes well and I'm able to navigate this board here, we will come back with one of the Amesbury High School football captains, Damian Capone. So stay with us and see what happens. It could be anything. We'll be right back.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Writer at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
All right, we're back live now with Damian Capone, one of the captains of Amesbury High School. And Damian, welcome to MSO. We just talked with Nick a little while ago about Amesbury football, and I don't want to ask you the exact same questions, but I will start with the first question is being a captain on Amesbury. I want you to tell me what that feels like, especially looking back your freshman year and how far away being a senior was, because I know you remember being a freshman like it was yesterday. So what's that whole feeling like?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Like, going back 4 years from now, I would never think we'd be in the position we are now. And we did have leaders coming up when I was a freshman, when the seniors that I was, like, looking up to. And I, like, very much, like, kind of put my feet, like, right back in their boots, or at least trying to. And day by day, just trying to, like, just set an example like they did to me.
Excellent.
I don't know.
David, this is Tim Kearns. I mentioned to Nick earlier that Amesbury has a very proud athletic tradition. Not a big school, but a school that has always been competitive across the whole spectrum of interscholastic sports. And like every school, you guys have had some you're down years, but in the last couple of years, there's been a big uptick in the success of the various programs at school.
Yeah, so
the big thing that comes with that is literally just straight up, like, we practice so hard, and we spend so many hours in the weight room that, like, no matter what, we're going to fill the positions we need and when we need them. So, like, we might not have the body types for, like, most positions. Like, I play D-line. I'm, like 175, 180. But, like, we make it work. It's all heart and hard work.
Okay, well, if you're on the D, you got to tell me a little bit about the D and the offense, because during the tournament, I mean, you got 49 points against, you got 44 points against Millbury, and you had, 24 against Boston Latin. The Millbury game, tell me a little bit about that, because, that propelled you into the Final Four. Got to be a great benchmark for Amesbury football.
Yeah, so coming into that game, we knew that it was going to be a difficult game. They're very well coached and a very good team. And the whole point behind it was literally just, like, standing our ground and knowing that we're the tougher team. So overall, we just kind of had to stand behind our freaking walls and push forward. So overall, I feel like we knew that we were going to be the tougher team. And I feel like they haven't played a team like us yet, so it was kind of a wake-up call for Millbury.
Yeah, and they were number five, you were number four, and you got to play number one. We'll talk about that in a minute. Did we lose you, Tim?
Yeah, we did there for a second.
Okay. You're back, I think.
I know so much about team sports is about mentality and going into a game believing that you're the better team. And I know I've had that experience. In high school and in playing American Legion baseball, where we were good. We knew we were good. We knew we could win every time we walked onto the field or onto the court, but it's a quiet confidence that you have to have. It can't be outward gloating or things like that. It just has to be that level of confidence that can propel you through the tough situations. That's what you guys find you have.
Yeah, so we go through the same practice routine every week, no matter what team we play, and all we do is make adjustments to it, and we have the confidence behind our defense as one base team that we just have to trust each other every week. So by us trusting each other, we feel like there's no team that can beat us when we have our base defense and everyone knows what they're doing.
What's a day like in the life of Damian Cooper as a senior at Amesbury High School during football season? What's your schedule like on a typical day?
So, we go through school like a normal day, and coming into the locker room, just asserting, like, just overall knowing where we have to be and when we have to be there. Practice, we have film pretty much every day. We have lifts after practice, before practice sometimes. Like, overall, it's just knowing that we have to, like, accomplish our goal every day. And one step closer every day to coming with the win on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
How many guys are on the team?
So I think at the beginning of the season we had around like 50. But now I believe we have around like 47 healthy right now, 48, 46, somewhere around there.
That's still a good number. I know that there's some local high schools that don't have those kind of numbers, and it definitely can impact your ability to be successful because you're limited by the number of replacements you have to replace injuries and quality people to go into those positions. So you guys have been in a pretty solid situation all season long.
Yeah, so last season we came in, I believe, somewhere around like 35. So after our our good season last year, I believe a couple kids transferred from Whittier, and we have a lot of freshmen coming up this year, which very much helps for scout and all that stuff too. So it's been great.
Tell me about that aspect of being a captain, because when you're a freshman, you got to fight for every inch. If you have a freshman team, great. Chances are you're probably not going to play in the varsity as a freshman, but you really want to. And then as you climb the ladder, it gets harder and harder until you make it. And then when you get there, you're not ready to give it up to somebody else, but you still have to deal with teammates. So what's it like, going that transition from freshman to where you are now, but now you have to deal with freshmen. You have, as a captain, you have to, being a mentor for them, I guess. What's that like?
So day by day, we kind of just assert ourselves as knowing where, like, no matter where we are in the depth chart, it's really all about just, like, just putting your place in. Like, putting, like, the work in no matter where you are and knowing, even though you might not touch the field, you're helping the team substantially if you're, by practicing and playing with the varsity players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you're on the scout team, we look at that as, like just as important as playing on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter where you are on the depth chart, it's just overall, like, you just need to be a team player consistently, and that's how you get on the field.
Excellent.
Show yourself.
Excellent. I don't know if
you stopped looking at schools yet.
No. So overall, I think I'm going to go into the trades after high school.
Uh-huh. Hey, nothing wrong with that, my friend. You'll be making a whole lot more money than a lot of people with college education.
Yeah. I've gotten into, I haven't gotten a response back, but I've emailed the union and gotten, my grandfather has put in a good word for me since he's been in there for a couple of years now, like 50-something years.
What trade?
Electrician.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. So, have you done a lot of work already as an electrician?
I've been with him on a couple of jobs, but I've seemed to really like it.
Excellent. That's great. Well, you know what? Finally, what's this week mean for you guys? Talking with Nick, he was saying you're a pretty tight team, and how do you work together? Do you go to dinners, or you have get-togethers after practice, after the game? How's that work?
Yeah, so our entire senior class has been really close, even through like Little League and middle school and all that stuff. So we have spaghetti dinners every Wednesday. So after practice, we have a team dinner at somebody's house, normally a captain or a senior. So we all go, even like the freshman, sophomore, so we can bond and start to love each other and be as much of a team as we can.
Before I get turned over to Tim for a final thought, my daughter played lacrosse at Gloucester High School, and her senior year we had to host a spaghetti dinner for the girls' lacrosse team. And I cannot believe how much they could woof down, so I can imagine what you guys do to somebody's budget.
Oh, it's actually wild. we go through so much. I thank the parents and I thank the coaches for like letting us have everything. And I believe next week we're going to the Polish Club and having a coach spaghetti dinner with all the players too. So it's gonna be great.
Fantastic, Tim.
Rick, you were given a question. You asked his co-captain Nick for a question to ask Damien. And he really kind of disappointed me because I really wanted him to, you know, give a stumper question for Damien and something that really would have put him on alert, you know. But he came up with a nice safe question. So why don't you ask that one to end the interview?
I thought I did. You ask it.
Did you?
I thought so. I thought it was about the feeling of going into this week's Final Four. But that does, you know, that does bring up a question that I always wanted to ask, and you don't have to answer it, Damien. But sort of a funny thing is, like, what can you tell me about Nick that we don't know? A good quality about Nick that we don't know. And then I would also have him ask you, what can he tell us about you, a good quality that maybe not everybody knows? So let's do that. What's a good quality about Nick that maybe isn't obvious to everybody?
Nick's silent but deadly.
Okay, well done.
He really is.
All right.
He doesn't talk much, but when he does, he's a leader about it.
I love it.
And when he gets taunted before a game, it's game over.
What'd you say, Tim?
He did say that he wasn't the noisiest person.
Right.
He's leading by example.
Yeah, he's been a stud for us.
All right, so what about yourself? What can you tell us a quality about yourself that isn't obvious to everybody but that you're proud of?
I feel like I just don't really back down or really don't, like, I don't acknowledge that someone's better than me. I try to win my ones. So, like, if I'm going up against somebody, I'm not going to tell myself that they're better than me or that they're stronger than me or they're, like, anything like that. So I look at, this, like, a person that's 6'6", 300 pounds, like, the same thing I'd look at, like, a 5'6", 185 person. Like, overall, everyone's the same, in my opinion, and I could handle my own.
Think that's being competitive. Tim, final thoughts?
If you're going to take on that 300-pound guy, just get him in the hips and turn him.
Exactly.
technique. Hey, great talking with you, Damien. Congratulations to you and the team. Good luck this Friday night against West Boylston. You guys have to travel to Lowell for a 5 p.m. start and make sure that the you get a good turnout. The whole student body shows up for you guys.
Yeah, it was great talking to you guys, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Great talking with you. Take care. All right, that is Damian Capone, who was one of the captains at Amesbury High School. Another well-spoken man, young man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've never been disappointed by the quality of the guys and girls that have come on and interviewed with us on the time that we've been on the air, Rick.
100% correct, Tim, and I'm glad you said that, because I've always said, and I will continue to say, these guys, these kids, men and women, young men and young women, are going to save us from ourselves, and it's already beginning, and I'm happy to see that. Anyway, very interesting stuff. Again, three teams left in the MIAA football tournament locally, and they are starting with Division One. It is St. John's Prep, and then Bishop Fenwick, I believe, is Division Five, and then we still have Amesbury in Division Seven. So those are the teams that are left, and we hope to have coverage out of Lynn on Friday evening for the Bishop Fenwick North Reading game. And let's include North Reading also, because they're in the Cal. So there are four teams left locally. A little disappointing that we don't have more than that, but it's been a great tournament so far. We got your Celtics, and you got your – did you mention Patriots at all tonight, Tim?
No.
Okay.
We did not mention the Patriots.
Are you going to?
No, they're in a bye week. Let's give them the bye. You know, hopefully they're working on repairing some things. People are getting healthy, and you know, in the meantime, Josh gets fired and comes back as the new offensive coordinator.
Okay, so there is hope, I guess, right? Okay, all right, that's cool. I think we'll end it right there. And of course, we're going to start our Thanksgiving features this week as well. We'll be talking with as many coaches as we can about Thanksgiving football. excuse me. When Manchester Essex lost Friday night in the rain, Coach Grimes, we overheard him talking to his team about, okay, this is a tough loss. It hurts, but let's not forget Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving games are important in Massachusetts high school football, and they continue to be. Do we agree with that, Tim?
Oh. Around here, you know, they're more, for a lot of teams, they're more important than the regular season.
Correct.
You know, because you're playing a traditional rival, and it's for bragging rights, and it involves a whole lot more pride on that one day. It is a great family day. There's great tradition that goes back. You go to the game, and you see, you know, it's the biggest alumni affair in most schools' school year. Everybody across generations there, and you see people you haven't seen since the year before, or maybe years before, and people come from, you know, outside of town, outside of the state, just to go to the high school football game before they go to dinner. And a lot of people are late to dinner because they've been at the high school football game. So for us in this area, you know, Thanksgiving holds a lot of special meaning, and we give thanks for having Thanksgiving football. That's what we give thanks for.
All right, Tim. Well done. That's good marketing, man. That's why you are ambassador of goodwill. Well spoken. All right, Coach. I'll talk to you later in the week about assignments for this week.
All right, Rick.
All right, Tim. Thank you so much. Be well.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye bye. That is Tim Kearns, who is our sports analyst here, and also our ambassador of goodwill, Bill Newell, working feverishly tonight on more interviews, and North Shore, Salem News sports writers. We got that podcast coming up. He's got tons of interviews ready to go this week that we'll be dropping about so many different things. Of course, you know, sort of at the top of the pyramid is the semifinals in MAA football, but so much more here on MSO. And don't forget, we cover some news stories as well. So please check into our website as frequently as you can. And thank you for being with us. Spread the word. My very special thanks tonight to both coaches, Coach Brian St. Pierre of St. John's Prep and Coach Colin McQueen of Amesbury High School, for setting me up with the captains, Carson Brown at St. John's Prep, and Damian Capone and Nick Martin at Amesbury High School. Thank you for all of that. Great listening to those kids. Those young men, I should say. All right, that'll do it for now. This is North Shore Sports Night. On behalf of Tim Kearns, Bill Newell, and Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Be well.